Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the Left of Greg podcast. I am Brian Marin, the host and creator of the show. As always, I will be joined by human behavior expert Mr. Greg Williams, who the show is affectionately named after. Here on the Left of Greg show, our goal is to increase your advanced critical thinking ability through a better understanding of what we call human behavior, pattern recognition, and analysis. If you'd like to find out more about what that is, you can check out our website at arcadiacognorati.com or by following us on Facebook at HBPRA. Please help support the show by checking out our Patreon site, where for just a few dollars you can have access to all kinds of episode extras, videos, and short tutorials that are updated weekly. Just click the link in the episode details that says support the show and we'll take you directly to that site. If you have any questions or would like us to cover a specific topic, please reach out to us at leftofgreg@gmail.com. On today's episode, Greg and I start by discussing the news of the Washington Redskins' recent name change, which leads into a broader discussion of how all words, and specifically names, can have a unique meaning to them that is often missed or misinterpreted. We also address the most important factor in situations where words or names become offensive, and that has to do with the person's intent when they use the offensive name or word. Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the show. Come up yet?
We are live.
Okay. All right, Greg, we'll go ahead and get started. We are recording this on Monday, July 13th, the morning of. So we did actually have someone else planned to be on that. We had to reschedule last minute, but we had this time planned for the podcast anyway. So we said, hey, let's go ahead and do one. And kind of wanted to go over something that we've talked about discussing before, but just hasn't really come up yet. And what spurred my memory, I guess, or what made me think of this was this morning that the Washington Redskins announced that they're retiring their name. That's what they called it, retiring their name, Redskins. And to be determined yet, I didn't get a chance to read too much, but they haven't come up with a new name. So the Washington Redskins football, obviously, people find that very offensive that they're called Redskins, rightly so. It's kind of an offensive term these days, and then they're going to change it. All right, so that got me thinking of stuff we've had conversations before about, and so the overarching theme of today would be what's in a name, right? What is the meaning behind names and some of the things we give words to? Because oftentimes, well, one, it's important, sometimes more important than we realize. Sometimes I think a lot of places put a lot of time and effort into naming something, and maybe us on the user end don't even realize the meaning behind it and everything. So it's actually extremely significant. And I kind of want to, well, there's a few things I want to talk about, because one, obviously naming conventions, then things like taxonomy, right? That's a classification using naming, typically scientific classification of things. We always think of, like, you know, genus, species, all those things that's a taxonomy of how we articulate, you know, all living things. And then semantics, of course, is the study of language and the meaning behind words. So there's a lot in there. And I think that's often forgot, right? Meaning where these names come from, what goes into them. So what spurred me, obviously, like I said, Washington Redskins changed their name. But one of the immediate things that it also reminded me was of, you know, how much thought goes in behind it. So we are part of a project right now. We hope to be able to talk about a little bit more at a later date, hopefully soon. But with this partnership that we're in, same thing. They went through it took a long time to get to the final name of what they wanted to call it. And to the point of where we were getting like, all right, we're done with this, getting frustrated with it. A lot of people were, but it highlights how important it is, right? It's not just important to, you know, who you're speaking to, the potential clients and customers, but to the people who started it, right? And what they want to call it and what they want to be taken. Because when you first hear a name of something, you're automatically going to think something based on your own life, based on your own biases, based on your own everything. And I don't use that term bias negatively, just meaning there's cognitive biases and what you think of, there's heuristics, all this stuff. So you're going to hear something and it's going to make you think of something, right? And so a lot of times, especially marketing and big companies, they want to get that name right so that it elicits an appropriate response, right? They want you to get either some feeling or belief or idea. So, being now that it's 2020 and it's the Washington Redskins, that's an offensive term to Native Americans. And so they're changing that. And this is a big deal, I think, a bigger deal than a lot of people realize. So that's kind of where I'm coming from on this. I just want to give you a little background, Greg, because I know I shot you an email said, hey,
minutes ago,
our guests yeah. rescheduled, but we're still going forward. And by the way, here's what I want to talk about. You're like, thanks.
So here's a couple of things in yeah. random scattershot, my dear friend, on a Monday morning. Number one, it's my brother Jeff's birthday. So
that's right. Happy birthday, Jeff.
Happy birthday to Jeff. I believe he's in his 70s now. We're from a very close family. Exactly. So I called him this morning at O-Dark 30. We got up just after 4. I called him and clearly woke him up out of a dead sleep and sang to him. And it was a very offensive song, just so you know. So that's a good topic for today, is being offended by something. The other thing is that just because this is in the old time slot doesn't mean it's going to be near the quality that you may expect, but at least you can say we're punctual because we're not going to leave you hanging. And you said something funny, Brian, and I know we've got a bunch of factors and we don't want to go down a rabbit hole or just with one spiral. But the funny thing is, when you were talking about the bias, I always think of when somebody says perspective bias, I think of Uncle Buck. And he's walking through that party with all the kids. And he goes, sometimes it's the hat. The hat makes people angry. Yeah. And those people go, don't go in there wearing that hat. Remember that? They yeah. give that advice.
Yeah.
But you actually completely unconsciously said, and if I can find the exact word that you used, you said lately.
Yeah.
Can't find it. You said the Redskins are retiring their name and they call it retiring. Well, basically, somebody that was hypersensitive could say that that's a form of implicit bias because
right.
Redskins has been an offensive term since there's been
first forever. Right. You, right.
You get what
it's
I'm trying
always
to say?
Been
since
an
the first
term.
Person looked yeah. and goes, hey, what's up? So the idea, though, the idea I think that we have to keep sacred here to make sure that we lay down in the road just before we use it as a format is, hey, if you intended to be offensive when you initially called out that word or that phrase, or then you should be damned for using it and it should be changed.
Right.
So let's go back just one tick to the left.
No. That's perfect. That's where I wanted to start.
As human beings, we create our own unique realities from our own subjective perspectives. And so we perceive and understand things through the systems that we've created. So it's not fair to come back and go, hey, you bastard, wait a minute. I didn't even know. Like for example, Hitler ruined this mustache forever. Okay. So you're never going to be able to pull off that mustache, right? So Hitler didn't go, he wouldn't look at, and I'm speculating here, Brian, we don't have a close familial bond there. But I don't think he's going, got to go to the beer hall push, thinking about manscaping. What about this? He yeah. didn't come up with that
right.
and then go, hey, doubly, I'm going to turn it offensive. I'm going to make
yeah.
it, you know, deeply hateful. I'm not trying to make fun of an issue. I'm just trying to say that the hypersensitivity has gone to the level that now the Eskimo pie renaming
okay.
and the yeah. syrup. So I just don't want to get down
no,
there.
No.
And have somebody think that I'm insensitive.
No. And I think that you've made it very clear, and let's continue to remind everyone of that. And I wrote it down, as you didn't say it this way, but intent is everything, meaning
intent.
If you intended to use that term
as a slur or as a slam or
in any negative way or
exactly.
an inside joke, well, then yes, it's horribly offensive.
It's out of line.
It's completely out of line. And yeah,
yep.
now if that's not what it meant, that changes things. And I know
right. It doesn't make it less hurtful.
No.
You see what I'm trying to say, but
yes.
it does change the field on which we're playing.
And that's
totally agree.
Sticking with the football analogy there, I guess, but that's a good point. So that's a great way to intro the whole subject here. I want to get into yeah. today is, you know, what's in a name. So naming conventions are important. People put a lot of time into them, and what you just hit up right front is their intent is everything. Okay. So it goes into, and cause that reminds me, because the other thing was, it reminded me as we were talking about this when I was a little kid, and when the first like times, like I was old enough to remember like two people like about to get into a fist fight and start yelling and screaming. I was like a real little kid, who knows how old I even was, but the guy kept yelling and he was pissed because he said, you know, you can't call me out my name. Like they kept calling the guy the wrong name on purpose to mess with him. And the guy was getting furious because that wasn't his name. It'd be like, instead of me going, okay, Gary, instead of calling you Greg, all right, easy, Gary, even though, but it goes back to the tent, even though.
We've never done that before.
I know.
Okay, well, so think about that.
We've had to fire that people in, Brian. Like that, but
oh, before. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I've
but,
done.
But think of it, when Bush chose to go on the air, Bush won, and he was goading Saddam Hussein, he kept referring to him as Saddam. And what it was is he changed his name just a little bit. To be a derogatory thing. Now listen, okay, you're saying, well, these people are at war, that's allowed. Listen, you can't draw the line there. You can't say, well, here and here it's okay, but we're doing that. If you're going to be across the board on it, what you should say is, yeah, you're right, we need to go back. But I don't think people sat around and they said, okay, where are we on the cigar store Indian? And then everybody around the room goes, well, in 417 years, they're going to look back and call us assholes. I don't think that occurred. And I think now that we're smarter and we know more, we understand more about socialization, we understand more about psychology and victimization, maybe we should. Maybe that's exactly what we need to do.
Well, no, that is what's happening. But
it's happening, but does it need to happen in every instance?
Well, okay, and that's exactly what I'm getting at here. It's, you know, I think that I'm sure there's plenty of you know, Native Americans here in the U.S. and went like, wow, finally, like, you're literally using the term redskin. Like, I have a friend who's Native American, who's born and raised on a reservation, everything, and he's just like, do you understand? That's like that. Like, he laughs because he's like, he just knows that people don't realize, like, hey, that's like horribly offensive. Like, you can't, like, if this was to any other group, like, we'd be like, you're calling them a racial slur. Like, you can't call a name that. And the fact that it took so long. So, but the problem is then what happens? We go, oh man, wow, you're right. That's horrible. Even though the name was it like a lot of high schools and colleges in this country with Native American ties were one paying homage,
Redskin pride. I mean, we actually put terms together.
Whether it's the Braves or this, it was actually because, hey, we want to be looked at as a cohesive unit, respected fighting force on the battlefield, the sports field, right? But that the modern day battlefield. And so we're going to take the name of some warriors. You know what I mean? It was, that was the intent behind it. Exactly.
There were not many teams that chose sad sack loser assholes as you know what I'm saying? Because the letters look perfect.
Well, it's just the SSAs.
You remember that, right?
SSLAs. Yeah.
And when their cheer is, we've never won a game.
Yeah.
You know, but you remember those guys.
But that's the point. Now it then changes when we then take what I would call creative license with that type of ideology or that type of I guess
direction.
Thank you. And then
okay. No, I get where you're going, because you don't want to misname what it is.
Right.
It's a movement.
And then take it and apply it to other areas. So what is it, and why do those names change over time and become either very important or less important? Like I'll give the example we were talking about with your iPhones and I this, and Apple does everything I this, and there's a whole naming convention behind that, and Siri is backwards for iris, which iris, you know, the iris people, it's the part of your eye that takes in photons of light. So there's this meaning that builds on top of each other and layers on, correct? So that's obviously put a lot of thought into that. Now, maybe there's a population of the Siri tribe somewhere that in 20 years they go, hey, this is horribly offensive to, you know, it, just to keep it direct, but that's not what it was meant at the time. But why do us as humans, why do we put so much into that? Why, even looking back with the example I gave up with that guy's like getting so angry because the guy was calling, whether he knew he was calling the wrong name or not, was kept calling, mispronouncing someone's name. Like you said, Saddam Hussein or Saddam, like George W. or George H.W. Called him, the Bush senior. During that time, like, why is that so offensive to us, and why do we put so much importance on that? I guess that would be my opening question.
We're not trying to poke fun at anybody. We're not trying to conflate an issue. We're not trying to lessen an issue of racism or racial slurs. We're not trying to do that. But I say that we need to take a step back and understand the why and take a look at the implications. So, for example, Wall Street. Wall Street was a barrier. It was a barrier during a major fight. So are we going to go back and say, well, we don't want to talk about Wall Street Do you get what I'm trying to say? Let's rename that. And then stocks and bonds. But you can think about it, putting a person out in the stocks near Wall Street. What happens is we can't get so hypersensitive and go back and determine what the likely intent was when it wasn't. When somebody just came up with a name like the Buffalo, or they decided to call themselves the Wolverines, I agree that I'll give you an example in this way. Okay, so you know I'm a huge old movie fan.
Yeah.
But not all old movies are good.
They don't age well certainly sometimes.
They don't, okay? So one of my favorite movies in the world is The Philadelphia Story that starts off with some good old-fashioned domestic violence and within the first couple of minutes uses a racial slur that was part of the script that was written back then. And it's a light slur, if there is such a thing. And it was, again, naming a thing that was very common amongst people that were entertainers during the time, but it doesn't make it any less offensive. So I come to you and I go, that's one of my favorite films ever. I really enjoy it. I'm not saying that I enjoy at the beginning where
the guy's beating up Catherine a woman.
Gets pushed down or where the woman in passing says something while they're taking a photo. I'm saying that the construct of the film and the pacing of the film, it's a really great film. And then all of a sudden I'm watching it. You know, I like Cary Grant films. So last night, late, can't sleep. Sleep eludes me. I'm watching Bringing Up Baby, which is about them and a cougar, a puma, the one from Africa, whatever it is with the spots, a cheetah, a leopard. So during the film, they're using some terms in the old days. And guess what was on just before that? A Star Is Born with Judy Garland and 57. And she's standing there dancing on a loading dock, and she's got two black people that are dancing with her. That's the white person. And they're all tap dancing and they're dressed in period costume, which is demeaning. Okay, so I'm sitting there doing this, holy shit, can I still watch this?
Yeah, but.
Because I'm feeling really bad about it as an art form. I didn't think of it, and I didn't think that they were trying to portray the intent. They were just portraying what was in that time, in that period.
No, and I think I always look at those as, you know, wow, like look at how far we've come as a society where we don't do, you know what I mean? It's almost like it's a temperature. It's a measurement, right? It's like taking, you know, you can look back and go, geez, I can't believe people used to say that.
A social barometer.
Back then.
You're exactly right. And it was pervasive, wasn't it?
But
it was in everything.
But I look at it as like, hey, that's a natural course that has to happen, right?
Yes.
So meaning those things are going to come up and people aren't going to realize everyone, I don't care what skin color you are, gender, sexual identity you are. Everyone
Brian is talking about his list of people that he would like to mate with right now. Go ahead.
So all of
tall,
them.
Short, fat,
everyone's in there. You, everyone's got a chance. So
me too, maybe.
But the idea is, I already forgot where I was going with that.
Where were you going with that one? Yeah, and this is live, by the way.
So yeah, great. Thanks. I can't edit that out. But no, the idea is that it's a natural course of events that happens, and everyone, I don't care who you are, has offended someone in some way, not necessarily intentionally,
okay,
completely,
but did we?
Unintentionally. And if you didn't have someone to teach you that was wrong or bring something up. So exactly. Now you have that balance of, well, what's actually wrong? Is this a, where, you know, you get some people that are always like, oh, your feelings are getting hurt. And sometimes you're like, hey man, like, you're not taking this issue seriously. But then you have on the other side,
you
have people who take it way too far and say, well, everything has to go then. You're going, well, no, this is the human condition. And if you look at where we're at today to compare to where we were 100, 200, 400 years ago, it's a night and day difference. And so when you look back at those, now, the reason why I had this reaction to this morning was like, man, it seems with everything, like, I'm surprised it kind of took this long for the Washington Redskins to change.
Exactly. But again, remember pride.
That's what I mean. Historical
and
pride.
And everybody.
Yeah.
So they're still going, wait a minute. Are you serious? Wait. I would
ask
going,
you. We didn't mean anything by it. This is our team.
Exactly.
This is our history. It's like changing your family name. Hey, Greg Williams, that Williams name. Sorry, buddy.
It offends
like,
me.
It's got to go. Like, you'd be like, wait a minute.
I want to give you an example of exactly what you're talking about. So, we're working out on the West Coast, early combat hunter days, and there was Mattis's former chief of staff and Mattis's current chief of staff, two diametrically opposed humans that had different views of everything, right? So diametrically mean. But so I'm standing there, and a young Marine goes by for some reason. I said, hey, Devil Dog, step over here for a moment. And I took a knee, and we were talking, not the Kaepernick knee, and we took a moment. We were talking about some things, and then a Marine scrambled off to do his best and go to combat. And so the one colonel comes over to me and takes me off to the side and goes, "Hey, don't call them devil dogs. That's such a demeaning term." Okay, so my dad was a prior commandant of the Marine Corps League. My dad, former Marine, dad was hugely proud of being called a devil dog. And I sent you the picture on a soft cap where he's got the big devil dog Motor City Detachment. And it was a big, important thing to him. Now, let's roll the tape a little further back to Teufelhund, the devil dogs, and the naming convention on that.
Right.
So we could do a show, Brian, on the left and right limit of those.
That's a great example of where that come from, which is a proud historical name that the Germans gave the Marines because they were like, hey, these guys are like, you know, devil dog, little Teufelhund, and they don't ever stop. They're the fiercest. It was like, it was such an honor, you know, for that in the Marine Corps tradition. But I
will get me. Exactly.
Then here's how it works. And then while you're in the Marine Corps or using that, you can often use that like, hey there, devil dog. Like that's, Now I'm messing with you because you're just a young enlisted guy or something like that, right? So so that stuff changes over time. It's no different than, and because when I see you do it, and a lot of people do it, when you see someone who's like active duty or military or whatever, you always go up because you served and you're like, hey, you know, just thank you for your service. Okay. Yep. But, and most people who use that, they're using that because they're really legitimately trying to say thank you for something. But me and my buddies use it differently. When you see someone who's being obnoxious, talking about how bad they are, like, oh, I was in this and I was in that. And they're making sure everyone in the area knows that they served in the military, just being a total douche. And that's the first thing out of my mouth. Oh, wow. You were in the war. Did you fight? Thank you for your service. And I get real sarcastic with it to tell them to knock it the fuck off because you look like a jackass and you're making the rest of us look like a jackass. But that's the thing. So it's my intent. My intent
coupled with perspective
is to say, hey, quit being a jackass. And your intent is genuine. And you're legitimately thanking people because I've seen you then like try to do that. And some people, take it the wrong way and you don't realize it's happening. They're like, oh, this guy's messing with me. And you're going like, wow, that guy was kind of a dick. And I'm like, no, he just thought you were being sarcastic. You were actually being very genuine.
And nobody gives you any rules. I didn't have a laminated sheet.
None.
Of rules.
And
so
you can't go. And this is what I meant by it. So you have to take it into the context of what it's meant in. So in that specific situation of you walking up and saying that, you have to take it in that context. So the naming conventions we have of everything, you have to take it in the context from which the time period where they named it. What did they mean when they named it? And
you have to have a realistic set of rules too, Brian. Yes. I am absolutely for Black Lives Matter. I was a police officer for 27 years. I was completely colorblind. And then I'm blindsided in Denver when I walk up on a sign that says no life matters until Black Lives Matters. What? Okay, well, so listen, let's approach this scientifically.
Yeah.
And let's fix the wrongs. But let's not go so emotionally that we can't see the forest for the trees.
Well, even that, it comes down to because even people in that movement or using that term or in support of against are using that term differently. Because meaning,
right? That's you can't use it in this genre and in this and then say, but that's not how I meant it.
No. That's my point. You don't get that. And the problem is, it's such a self.
By the way, we're wearing the same shirt again.
Today. We are.
That's creepy.
Well, it's not the same one this time because
it's the same shirt.
You're in Colorado and I'm not.
The same size.
But
you're behind me.
It's a reverse camera. They got the partition. I could hit you on the back of the head right now.
Exactly.
It's a screen. It's a green screen. So no, but that's the
second
point.
Second time I've distracted you.
But even that's such a self-evident statement that why would you make someone say that? We're like when someone would say, hey, do you feel that Black Lives Matter? It's like,
of course. Do.
Like why would you?
Every bit as much as it's any like, other
being well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So sometimes that intent behind it is like, you must mean something else by this.
Right. And if you have an ulterior motive, please share it with us.
Right.
So we can get on.
Because there's clearly, because that's such a self-evident statement to the overwhelming majority of the population, right? That it's like, so it's weird how we use this. And this gets into everything I kind of brought up, right? You have taxonomy, right? Naming conventions or classifications, I should say. Taxonomy is a classification usually for scientific purposes, but how we organize stuff. Naming conventions are again, that's how we organize information. I would say even like on your computer, where you put files and what you call things. That's, you have to come up with naming conventions so that you can keep it organized and how it works for you.
Or you'll never find that file again, ever.
Exactly. And then you have semantics, right, which is the study of languages and all that. So those three areas kind of like all kind of coalesce a lot of times into how we come up with names and what we call things and the importance of it. But I think everyone forgets is what you brought up and made it so clear at the beginning was intent is everything, is what you meant to do with those words that give it power or give it meaning.
Even the law says that, Brian. The law says these are fighting words. These aren't.
So that's a good, clear distinction. This is hilarious. Sorry. We've got on Facebook Live, so people are chiming in. And actually, you know who's chiming in is Brian Marin. He lives in England. We had linked up. Guy with the same exact name for me. He's like a PhD scholar. Is he wearing a red shirt? No, super smart guy. But he said, hey, you know, what's it a name? Well, from one Brian Marin to another Brian Marin, I'm thinking our name is unique enough. So it's kind of hilarious. There's only so many people. And he's talking about exactly where the Marins and Southern Burns of Sligo, Ireland. So clearly related at some point, but it's hilarious that people are chiming in with it. I already called your Williams last name out, but
so I'll give you one that's interesting. So Marin and I are working on this other project, and like he alluded to a little while ago and a few days ago, sooner or later you're going to know what that project is, and we want you all to get on board. But during this, we were working on marketing, which Brian and I normally don't do. Meaning that we have a very POAM way of looking at the world. And what we do is we set it up. Okay, this is the information you need to know. This is how it's going to be broken down into KSAs. Here's the ELO, TLOs, all that other stuff. But the idea was that we did that with this project as well. And then we came into a room, and there was a dozen people in the room sitting around their phones. And the same thing happened last night with us, Brian. Do you know what charcuterie is, or charcuterie, where they have the meat?
Charcuterie. It's a meat and cheese plate.
Right.
I'm well aware of meats and
so cheese. So Shelly and I got in an argument last night over how it's pronounced. So she brings out her phone, and it's charcuterie or whatever French, right? And the guy has got the French accent. I was pissed immediately at this guy because, of course, you wrote it. You can pronounce it, but, you know, make it easy for the rest. Well, where that goes is we were going through so many name changes on this company in the first 7 or 9 days that I was about to throw in the towel and just call the game. So I called two people that do marketing for a living, and they're amazing. And they were in the automotive industry marketing for many, many years, decades. So I call them and I go, hey, I'm having this dilemma because these clients and friends, they just keep poo-pooing that you know, no good decision. You know what I'm saying? It's just, oh, no, I don't like that, or this or that, or it doesn't sound right. And they said, one, the very first Jim Gilmore told me this, a great dear friend, Jim Gilmore, says, listen, do you remember the Pontiac Aztec, the car?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that piece of crap. And he goes, six executives from General Motors stood around and go, that's brilliant. Yep. And they paid for it.
Yep.
And then Brian, my brother Brian Williams, a great advertiser, says that he and Gilmore put together the Tahoe, the Chevy Tahoe, the truck, all the commercials, everything for the branding and everything, and went to the big release to General Motors and said, this is what we made up. And they're standing there holding each other, patting each other on the head. And the guy goes, nah, it's a non-starter. And they go, why? And he goes, well, I was playing it while I was working out, and my cat hates it.
Oh,
my
God.
Cat hates this $10 million advanced production number. So, Brian, humans can be arbitrary and capricious. So I won't venture down those paths and try to follow your logic if you're insane or if you're goofy.
Well,
I mean insane, I mean clinically. I mean that if you're going to be
if you're basing the marketing project for a new vehicle at General Motors, which I would say there's a little bit of money that goes into that, building that vehicle and investing in that and getting people on board. And there's probably a lot of, and then you're going to put it on whether or not your cat likes it. You might want to go talk to someone.
Exactly. And the chair reclines, and we're not talking about getting a petty. But I just want to make sure that when we go through those discussions, what we're trying to do is we're trying to come up with a term. Like intent is hugely important. We just ended our project.
We
never got through to the point that intent should be the overarching factor in everything, because there are certain people's impressions on a program can be different than yours, and they could read into it, or they can come away with a different definition, or they can use a textbook definition, Brian, that sometimes falls well short of the mark.
That is, and that's important to remember when we look at any of these names or any of these situations. Is one, there's often more meaning behind it, anything that we realize, you know, that like you just said, you brought up a great one, but even the naming of the Pontiac Aztec, how many ideas got kicked around before it was called an Aztec, and that was after it was already probably designed and somewhere near being built.
Exactly.
And the only thing that it's known for, it was the character Walt, who called himself Heisenberg in Breaking Bad. That's what he drove. That's the Pontiac Aztec.
That's so funny. I did not know that, because I didn't watch that show.
No, I know. But
when I would tell people, you have to understand Heisenberg's uncertainty principle.
Yeah.
They would always go, oh, do you watch that show?
And it's like, oh, are they no, it's called physics, and he's been around for a while.
A little bit.
Yeah. He didn't have the mustache, so but he was part of the team.
Sometimes it's a hat, Brian.
No, sometimes it is the hat, Uncle Buck. But that's a. The point I'm getting to is that some thought has been put into it. And so going back to intent is everything. Like, someone came up with calling it a Snickers bar versus a chocolate gooey nutty bar. Like, you know, there was a distinct thing that came into it. And then maybe down the road, everyone says, well, that's a really inappropriate term, but that's someone else's fault, or that's the reason fault, but meaning a society has changed to come up with that. And now you're going, well, wait, I came up with this, you know, 50 years ago or 30 years ago, and there was no intent behind it. But what do we want to do? We want to crucify. We want to vilify. We have that cancel culture. We want to say, no, everything you've done.
That's
is wrong.
A great thing. So bringing up the cancel culture and bringing up that if I'm not on your side, then clearly everything I stand for is wrong, rather than looking at it and having a debate.
Yeah, well, which is funny, because when we like someone's ideas, people get really into that person and tend to kind of, well, I know their thoughts over here aren't really the best, but they look at what they're saying about this. So we'll excuse our own people that we're fans of, but we'll criticize someone.
Confirmation bias. Everything.
We'll only
take that information that we deem as being valid.
And I think it's incredibly important. Now, if we just stuck with naming conventions and names and the words we're using, because they're getting so conflated and they're getting confusing. So and this goes into anything that's science related, like science and language are used to do what, Greg? Articulate something, especially with science is here's how we explain some nebulous concept, some phenomena that we can't see and understand with our eye. So I drop this water bottle, right? There's physics will explain to me the rate at which that falls and why it falls that way and what gravity is, right? But it's used to explain something that I go, I don't know why. I just know when I pick something up, it falls down, right? And that gets even harder and more difficult. But some of these things now people are coming out with it and passing it off as science is that it's, no, you have to realize that everything is a bias. Everything is racist. It's all this. And you're going, well, wait.
You don't even know it is.
But if you go down that path, the problem is that then nothing has meaning and everything is made up, right? Right. And that's completely insane. That's the opposite of what science and language is supposed to do. It's supposed
to clearly. But it's popular, Brian. It's popular. And right now everything is pendulous. Everything is going to swing back and forth. And in a few years, things are going to go back and it's going to be more normal. It's called social norming for a reason. And things that are less important will become less important again. And things that are more important. Listen, where you are on the side of something, as long as it doesn't hurt somebody, hurt yourself, make somebody look like a bad guy or an idiot, as long as you don't have that horrible intent behind it, then you'll probably be okay. It's always okay to educate yourself about new ideas. The idea is socialization, and as a matter of fact, the social media, which I still don't understand. That's what's made the world so much smaller, and that's made ideas spread more quickly. It's also made it easier to cloud non-science in with science. So, for example, when we were eating a food that the term for the food sounded bad to somebody that was 6,000 miles away in a different place, there's no way that person knew I was eating it, and the guy that was making the food that was local had no idea. And so they used a euphemism. They used the term. So there wasn't anything there. So, okay. So the world's smaller. We'll fix that. We'll clean that up And we should all, every one of us should say, let's err on the side of the abundance of caution Brian,
right?
To make sure that we don't, and you said it's nebulous. It's like holding a water balloon or, you know, a handful of eggs and trying not to drop those son of a bitches while you're on a trampoline. So the idea is that give it time. We're on the right track. We're going the right direction. And let's not stray to that right and left lateral limit, Brian, which mean extremism. And extremism isn't good for anybody, and it's not going to do anybody any good in the
long. It's not it's not even extremism sometimes. I don't agree with any extremist ideology or fun.
Like, there you go.
Because when you're saying,
and you're polarizing my view.
No, but what I'm saying is that like, if you're of the belief that this is the way things are and this is how it should be, I don't care anyone else, well, then you're not part of this. Like, you're not being a contributing member to society. If you're saying this is the only way things going to occur, right? If you just have this, but that's what it gets down to, is it's more just intransigence, right? I am unwilling to change my beliefs despite the fact that you're giving me evidence to the contrary. And that's an issue, right? And I know we're in sort of that world, I guess, because of what we do, meaning where everything has to be questioned and we have to get held to a very high standard, right? So we recently had a conversation with someone who was doing something somewhat related, right? And then we said, yeah, but you can't go on the stand and testify to that. And they like immediately got quiet. We're like, well, no, that's not, like, well, then bye. Like, if it doesn't hold legal ground standing,
let me give an example. If it's opinion based testimony, don't come to me with it, because even a subject matter expert has a counter narrative subject matter expert that the defense or the prosecution is going to call. So if you can't line it up and show me that there's a mathematical principle or a scientific principle or that, you know, these things tend to show the existence of that, so artifacts and evidence to support it, then we got to back off of it.
So go back to the naming thing. Why, even when someone accidentally, or maybe their computer autocorrects it when they're sending me an email and they say brain instead of Brian, why do I immediately notice that and have it, like, I know it doesn't bother me, but it does momentarily. I go, God damn it, that's not my name. Like, why do I have that immediate reaction? Because I know it was done a complete accident, probably autocorrect. And I've even had it from other people whose name was Brian that spelled it the same way as mine, right? And you're like, you're still like, I noticed that so clear. Like, why? Why is that?
The world is a fragile ecosystem, and ours is a fragile ego system. So what happens is that when we perceive the rest of the world, do you ever hear the people talking about rose-colored glasses and stuff? When I talk about the lenses fall in front of the faces with the domains, what happens is some people can't get past their own horse shit. And that's dangerous because then we can't take a look at evidence. And you know, it's easy to get pissed off. And what we do is once we get pissed off, we start bringing up the shields. We start bringing up the barriers. And then we're no good to anybody, because now we just have these two balls bouncing together. Nothing's being changed. We don't have the cup. It's good to use a cup analogy, because I'm carrying my cup. If my cup is full, I can't take stuff from your cup. If my cup isn't full, then I can accept stuff from your cup. And guess what? My stuff isn't so meaningful anymore. Now I start to see different perspectives. And when I take a look at the perspective, I go, wow, I have to take and put your shoes on and walk around your house and see where you put the stuff. You want to mess everybody up? Put all the pictures in your house where the light plugs are. You get what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
And when they walk around, they'll take a look at that and go, it's just my perspective. It's okay to have a unique perspective.
Yeah.
But not to the exclusion of everybody else's perspective. That's not fair. And I'll take you back to certain terms that Greg is the only guy in the world that uses them. And Greg-isms, so when I don't know how to explain the Gregism, so I don't know how to, and Shelly called.
I've seen him in other people's ads on Facebook, by the
which
way,
which is hilarious, because you know that they picked that stuff up from me, because I've been using him for so long.
I was like, I remember that. That's the that's a 2008 Gregism.
Exactly. And look,
they're not even using a new one.
So I'm in the back, and we're doing the TCOM or TRADOC, the whichever one is at Q-Town at Quantico. And we're all sitting around.
The Training and Education Command, Training and Doctrine.
Yeah.
This is actually, for people listening, like when you have to have a program of record for the military, they have a room full of people of like smartest people who just nitpick, go through every line. Hey, that comma should be here, that period here. Hey, what do you mean by this? Yep. I want more. I mean, it's just brutal. I mean, it's great for quality control and consistency. Yep. I mean, holy crap, but you want to get your program gone through a meat grinder, do one of those.
But listen, but anyway, there's very few programs that meet that standard, and ours do. So I'm sitting around there, and all of a sudden the guy next to me goes, well, who do we cite as a resource? I go, me. And he goes, we can't do that. And he goes, well, you got to do that because I invented it. And then the next guy that's next to him goes, yeah, but where'd you get the word? I go, I made it up. And he goes, what do you mean you made it up? I said, well, I didn't know any other way to describe it. So I used a word that was existing and it made sense to me. And he goes, well, you can't do that. So I heard all the way down the line, you can't do that. You can't do that. And the word was atmospheric, Brian. And so the atmospheric, so the way, you know, the barometric pressure your body is reading is really important of environment. And you get a vibe. And when somebody says, oh man, the hair in the back of my neck,
something didn't feel right.
You can explain every one of those things with a very scientific term. But all of those feelings together that drives something that's likely to about to occur, those in Gregisms are atmospherics, and they have been since the late 70s. So the idea was that, listen, you can either be a roadblock and stand in my way to get this program out to pre-deployment Marine soldiers, sailors, airmen that need it to survive and do that. What name would you choose? So they go, well, hell, we don't know. Well, then shut up. Mine is okay until something comes along. And what you just found out, Brian, is how I unintentionally created a term, a naming convention for something.
Yes.
That maybe 70 years from somebody, now somebody looks back and they take offense to. It's that simple.
It's something I used
every time.
And it was even because same thing with our company name, Arcadia Cognarati. Yep. You can do your homework and find out what Arcadia is.
Very old, very Greek, buddy.
But then when everyone goes, well, wait, Cognarati. And every once in a while, we get someone who gives us a look and goes, hey, that name, pretty cool, man.
Exactly. Like,
we get that.
But that's why we chose it.
But you made up the term Cognarati. Yep. You made that term up.
Completely made up.
Which is hilarious. So now if we see it, people are going to go, well, we know where it came from, but someone will still pass it off, which is hilarious. Exactly. But
what was my intent? My intent was to capture something like Illuminati,
paparazzi.
You know, and say, these are terms that society tends to, like, somebody told me one time that, oh, that was a Tony party. And I had to go home and look up Tony because it means like some really cool thing. You can't do that. You can't just, I'm kind of guilty of making
that's
up my
like
own
Mean
terms
Girls.
Too.
Stop trying to get fetch to work, Gretchen.
Fetch.
Like, that's
oh my
so
God.
Fetch.
But how many times do you and I use fetch?
We do.
Now, because it does work.
Because it works. Anyone who's seen Mean Girls knows how great that movie is.
But. So anybody that's listening right now or watching along, there's a pool and a pond. Okay. So those type of terms that we use, cut out volumes of conversation that we don't have time for. So if I look and somebody's given us a really crappy hotel room and I'll look at Marinell and go, well, there's a pool and a pond. He knows immediately everything that follows after that. If we come in and right away, everybody is putting up barriers and it doesn't look like we're going to have an easy morning at class. Yeah. I'll look at Brad and I'll go, sometimes it's the hat.
Yeah.
It's because those little terms are hugely meaningful to us, but we don't use them in the context that it was used in the film. We use it in a personal context that we've shaped and changed to name feelings and emotions that we deal with.
And that's all names and words. A lot of terms get used that way, right? And we forget that sometimes we can't say it anymore, even bad words, right? That then are okay in certain songs when certain people use them. And that's fine. But meaning that's how words evolve or devolve or change over time, right?
That's
what happens. So as long as you put into context and understand
context
the intent behind it. Yeah. So I wanted to get to a couple things because we got folks kind of chiming in a little bit on Facebook Live. But when Brian Marin says shout out to you, Greg, said hello. He's a police officer in 20 years in Buffalo, New York, retired in 2007 as a captain. But so he's shout out to you.
Thank you, sir.
So Scotty Witt brought up some points. Our buddy Scotty from Australia chiming in. So we appreciate it. I hope things are opening up a little bit more down there by you guys. Hopefully you have a better, easier time controlling the coronavirus issue than we do in the U.S. It's an island. Australia is huge. But so he said, is that a name thing or is it about attention to detail with one of the things we were talking about before? But what he said was later, he said names eventually become sticky. Right. So to the Redskins news, now the name is being stripped off like a Band-Aid. It's going to hurt. Right. So like he's making it sticky in two ways.
And it's going to be 100 years till the generations die out for those people, the older people that are going to still use the name, and they'll insist on it or accidentally, or they'll slip into it. He's right on. Scotty,
no, no. And that's a great point about it becomes sticky. Well, it sticks to that organization. So when you pull it off like that Band-Aid, oh, hey, that hurts a little bit. Okay. That wound will heal, you know, and that's a great point to kind of actually add on to everything we're talking about. And you got other, comments in here. Danielle said, yeah, all the time people pronounce it Daniel, like the male version. She's like, hey, my name's Danielle. I get that. My wife gets that all the time, McKaylee, because of the way it's spelled. People are like, is your name Mikhail? And they're like, no, it's McKaylee. And then 5 minutes later in the call, that's they're going, okay, hey, Michaela. And she's just like, mom, why did you have to pick this?
And mom's giggling all the way to the bank every day.
Yeah. No. And these are all
McKaylee. There's a pool and a pond, McKaylee.
These are all exactly what we mean, and it comes down to the intent. Someone mispronouncing your name, if they're doing it on accident, then it's on accident, right?
But listen, you can do it on accident and still hurt somebody's feelings. That's why I'm saying give yourself the gift of time and distance. So Brian and I were being interviewed by somebody. It was a very famous interview, a very important person, and that person butchered our name every single time they tried to come up with our Arcadia Cotton-Rotty. So much so that I almost did it right there. You get what I'm trying to say? So now there was no harmful intent.
No.
But we kept having to come in and go, yes, that's Arcadia Cognorati, to make sure that the people could actually find us on the website. Yeah. And now somebody listening go, you fool, why don't you change it to something simple? Nah, if it was simple, it wouldn't be Scotty Witt. It wouldn't be sticky. And you wouldn't be saying it right now and going, hey, we're going to look that up after the show. So sometimes you get injured. But listen, Brian, who's really getting injured? It's our pride. It's our ego. It's internal. We're taking it as an assault or an affront when there's no meaning to it. How pissed was I when the guy told me not to use devil dog? Hey, I grew up with my father. I revere my father.
Yeah, you meant that in a certain way.
Nicest possible way, you know? And so I think those things are going to continue to happen. And I think if we're not open to a rational exchange of thoughts, then we're constantly going to be going, there, right there. He just said it just now. And that's no way of going through the rest of it.
I think that's also obviously a huge issue of putting all of it into context, especially historical context when it comes to older names. And trying to take away the meaning of what someone said, right? Especially when someone's tweeting or giving a speech or something that isn't planned or remarks, and you're saying something like, I mean, when you have to come up with something, you meant it in some way. It's very easy to take and that and then go, oh, well, what you meant was this. And the person's like, no, yeah, but you use these words, and that's what you meant. It's like, no, you don't get to decide what I
meant. You can't go back and say this word and this one. I've highlighted those three, and I'm going to put them together and come up with what you meant. Well, I'm right here. Ask me what I meant, you know? Ask me what's at my heart. And trust me, there are people out there that are complete douchebags that mean what they're saying, that are constantly trying to throw pee in the pool.
But great. Like, they're identifying, no, this is exactly what I'm, okay, well, now we know where you stand. Okay. So got it. Like, we now understand your intent every time. And those are usually the people out of the extremes. You can't, for everyone else, I can't walk around updating a fucking glossary of terms I'm supposed to use every day and delete the ones I'm not supposed to use that I learned when I was a kid. You can't expect anyone to
do that and not leave your house. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah. And, well, Maren's not in the house, but you can't go out of your box to the neighboring box and sit there and just spend all day long in that, you know, dryer box coming up with new terminology or douching old term. Like the term douchebag, something. Lord and Lady douchebag. Back in the 70s was on Saturday Night Live, and I'll never forget that. You get what I'm saying? The Earl of Sand. Those are meant as humorous asides.
I think it has grown in meaning over time.
Certainly that. we see them every day, folks.
But that's another thing, which is also why you then see, especially I see it more so out here on the West Coast with people coming up with all kinds of different crazy names to name their children. You know, it's the same thing. Well, I want them to be unique, or I want them to be this. And I'm like, hey, do you know what that name means? Like, you know, someone recently, my wife was telling me about it, like, oh, they named their son Deacon. I was like, oh, are they like a real religious family? Like, I didn't know that. And they're like, what do you mean? I was like, I don't know. When you say deacon, I think of the deacon at the church, who is a member of the community, he's not a priest, but he's heavily involved in the services. And, you know, he's part of the community. His family is there. But like, it's like, no, like, that's not what they meant by it. I was like, well, that's what a deacon is. Like, well,
I thought of Deacon Jones, the famous ball player, but by the same token, that's exactly.
Yeah, but right. But see how I took it versus how she took
together.
It.
Yeah, yeah. And they want to know the sound. We were sitting, Marin and I were sitting next to a guy that was listening to the shoe phone, and it kept saying the word over and over. And we go, "Hey, what's that word you're listening to?" And they go, "Oh, this word in ancient Sanskrit or whatever."
Ancient Sanskrit,
whatever the hell it is. And it doesn't matter. The idea is that, okay, if you're going to make something so obtuse and so, you know, high and right that nobody's ever going to understand it, nobody's going to come and buy your product. It's got to be at least in the realm of possibles. It's got to at least sound good coming off the tongue. So don't go out there and intentionally piss anybody off. Do a little bit of research and you'll probably be okay.
Well, yeah, but that's the other thing is not using the, what was that movie, Office Space, the jump to conclusions mat. No, it's a mat and you jump to conclusions and whatever you land on, that's what you go with. It's like, no.
That's so wrong.
You have to understand the situation. And so, you know, that's kind of what it brought me back to it. It just reminded me of that this morning with that news coming out about the Washington Redskins again, but that we have to be careful when we do those things, because if you go around destroying or destructing or devolving some things, when does it stop? Like, that's a clear case to me where it's like, yeah, like, this is clearly an offensive term. It's 2020. So, I don't mean to make light of it or laugh at it. Just only because my Native American friends have laughed and been like, "Do you understand how ridiculous?" And I'm like, until they said it, I never even thought of it that way. Like, I knew it because actually, the second high school I went to, been to a lot of school, been to a lot of schools. They haven't graduated from all of them, but been to a lot of them. But
that's why his resume is so long.
You have an impressive resume.
Exactly. I haven't
completed anything.
Hey, I was at Princeton for 18 months. It was right across the street from where we were working at the food service.
Exactly. I went to hung out at this pub and this pub. Oh, you know that place. How long were you there for? On and off for 18 months. But anyway, it brought me back to the same thing. The second high school I went to, they were the Redskins, and then they changed it right after to the Red Hawks, and like it was the same thing.
I thought foreskin, that would have been a good one. That was, you know? But there was a different some school. People out there that would have said, "Wait a minute,
no." And then someone would have said, "Well, what about me? I have a five skin," and then exactly. That's offending to them. But it changes, and the whole point is, I think until those things come to light and people discuss it openly and honestly, and
pull
people
it into
realize
the light.
That, go, yes. "Hey, wait a minute. Oh, okay, this is an obvious one." But the problem is when it gets to things where people are saying things that with no intent behind them or no ill intent behind them. And when someone else gets to come in and say, "Oh, well, you meant this." It's like, no, you don't get to say that.
First of all, you got to be able to say, "I made a mistake."
And no, you can't do that anymore. Apparently you can't make
somebody
mistakes.
Somebody else has to look at that and say, "Okay, I acknowledge the mistake and the fact that you mentioned it." So Brian, I want to go off tangentially just for a second here. And I want to say, folks, one of our podcasts coming up is going to be about domestic violence situations and why they're so dangerous, specifically to coppers and first responders.
Oh, my God. Everyone so over the weekend, it's a powder keg.
It is. It really is. And it doesn't matter who's holding the match.
No,
that's one of those issues. So we're going to talk about that in great detail coming up. And there was a couple of great coppers that were killed in Texas over the weekend, ambushed, responded to a domestic. And so the daughter of one of the coppers. And I don't know social media, so this is secondhand. This is hearsay, but I've seen the evidence, so I do believe it. Was writing, "Hey, Dad, I miss you already," this and that. And somebody came off the top and said, like, "F your father, F all coppers, deserved to happen, good for you." And Brian always reins me in, and Brian goes, "Yeah, but there's always those people who do it." Listen, what good did you – how good do you feel today coming off the top rail with those comments to a daughter that lost her husband? And Brian, I think just like these naming conventions, if your intent is to be hurtful with your words, then keep your words to yourself. And somebody's going, "Oh, he just said something about the First Amendment." Now, you have the absolute right to say something. It doesn't mean you should. That's all I'm saying. So when we take
the haters, I always tell people that, especially on social media, don't ever pass up an opportunity to not say anything. I mean,
true.
You don't have to get involved in it. You don't have to pour gasoline on the fire. You don't have to make it worse. You don't have to, despite what people say about, no, you don't need to project your opinion to everyone. You can actually think critically on your own and figure out what you think is right and wrong, and you can hold those to yourself and
share
and,
it with the hobos, you know, on your little bench where you're sitting right now.
I do.
I know
some
you
of,
too.
Some of them don't like it. Some of them love it. Some of them get some excited.
Bark at you and chase you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, Debbie's on here too. Hi, Debbie Wright. Thank you, Greg.
Debbie Wright, we love you. We want to come to Dallas. What's the matter?
If you don't have anything good to say, exactly. That was what
Thumper and Bambi learned, just so you know. And Bambi's mom died in a violent gun incident too. So it's good advice, and that's great thinking. Thank you, Walt Disney.
Exactly.
I'm not going there.
So, no.
Come to class. Really? Yeah, we can
deep dive that where it won't be taken out of context and people won't have a horrible, horrible reaction. But
like my brother Jeff, when I called this morning and sang him a tune, a birthday tune.
Oh gosh, that had to be lovely. So we can kind of bring it in for a bit of a landing here, Greg. But I think it's important to understand, in general, naming conventions, names, words we use to articulate, and you hit it right up at the front, is that your intent is everything. If I say your name wrong because I didn't read it correctly, I it's not my fault. You can correct me and I will apologize. If I'm saying your name wrong to give you a hard time to mess with you, because we've actually that it actually works very well. We've done that before to people who deserved
quite
it,
well. Exactly.
We needed to get them riled up. But then it's a different story. So I think as long as everyone going through this or understanding or anyone listening or following along says, hey, what was that person's intent? So when someone says something or you get upset by a message, an image, a word, a saying, a this, you have to go, well, what was your intent? And a lot of times, because we don't often do this, a lot of times, since my belief is that in general, most people are good and want to do the right thing.
Yes.
Sometimes we get on boards with an ideology that we didn't even know it was an ideology. Sometimes we get on board with movements or things that we didn't even know that there was some other meaning behind it, either good or bad, right? That can occur. So I think we have to be careful when reading someone else's message or looking at what they're saying. Is what is their intent behind that? And then you can ask them, hey, what did you mean behind this? What was your intent? And if they didn't have one, or they didn't know, or they're, as we call it, one slide deep, they don't really know what they're talking about. They're just regurgitating something they heard from someone else. Then that's going to become evident fairly
clearly.
Tune
them out.
Yeah. Exactly. And you don't need to
listen to
them.
Don't give them the power. So my last comment on the topic, and it's a great topic, Brian. We could deep dive for a good long time on it because it's to the surface, and it hurts a lot of people. Listen, we worked at Benning, and we worked at Bragg, and we worked at Hood, and we didn't wear hoods, and we weren't racist. Okay,
yeah.
I also attended those in the context of being a soldier, and I didn't go there saying, "Hey, Civil War general, wrong side." Okay, so we didn't know. And anybody right now that's up there and they're ranting and they're raving and they're stamping the foot and saying they knew, I have pictures of them at those same bases doing the same things that they were doing. Why wasn't it important 6 years ago? Why wasn't it important 4 years ago? So back off the gas a little bit, because you're trying to say that we were always at the forefront of this issue, and it's just not true. So we'll all get there together. This is one of the rare times, Brian, that I'll say that if we work hard at this, if we study a little bit, if we give somebody a hand up rather than a hand out, we'll probably all fix this and we'll be a better nation for it. And you know how rare I say that we're in something together. This is one of the things we are, in fact, in together.
I think we need to give people the benefit of the doubt sometimes, right?
You're exactly right.
Like, it's something as simple as we don't have to be outraged over everything. We can understand.
If you've got a megaphone and you've got a Molotov, then your intent is...
Megaphone's okay. Molotov, yeah. Not okay, right?
That's what I'm trying to say. So anything less or more than that,
yeah.
Let's draw a line in the sand. I want to hear your opinion. You just don't got to yell at me to make me listen to you. I want to hear your opinion. You don't have to start civil insurrection and a violent attack on me to make me listen to me. Bring us together. We can talk about this. Brian, what do we have at the end of every training session? We have a town hall. Come, sit around. We'll exchange ideas. We'll talk about things. And those things that we can fix, we will fix.
And it's amazing how how once you get down to some of the core issues, how similar everyone's views are on how to deal with them. Not just how they affect them, but how to deal with them once you get everyone together to actually discuss it. And that's why we get super frustrated with a lot of stuff that we see going on, because we know what some of the answers are and we've seen them work before. And anyone who sat there and done it with us went, wow, okay, that guy that across the street from me that I thought I hated, we're both dealing with the same issue and can resolve it. So
de-escalation, baby. De-escalation is more than just a word. It's an important prospect. It's something that
it's more than a word. It's more than a tactic or procedure, Greg. It's a mindset and a strategy, right? It's the first,
I agree with you. Exactly.
First do no harm. All right. So I think we'll wrap it up on that. Thanks everyone for tuning in, especially on Facebook Live. If you're just listening to the pod, you can always follow me on Facebook and we pop up live there at least once or sometimes twice a week. We're going to start doing some Friday ones that we're probably not going to release as episodes. Just we get on and go over everything that went on in the week. And so you guys can hop on and engage with us there. Thank you to everyone.
Greg. What do we have Wednesday?
Webinar Wednesday. That is the 15th of July. If you're listening to this Wednesday, July 15th, webinar. So check that out, sign up, hit us up and register for it. So thanks everyone for listening in, and don't forget, training changes behavior. Thanks for tuning in, folks. If you would like some more information about what we talked about today, you can head to the Left of Greg Patreon site, where we've added some more information about what we discussed, as well as some examples of how you can practically apply some of the lessons learned. Please remember to tell your friends about the show and follow us on Facebook at HBPRA. Thanks again and be safe.